Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great goodness. Lord, you give us the invitation. And I pray, Lord, that we would sit down and eat at your table, that we would learn from your wisdom. Help us to eat well and live well. You provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. Now, God, it's up to us to sit and eat. And, Lord, change our hearts in, towards that direction. Amen. Well, this morning's message is called Eat Well, Live Well. And we're going to talk about eating. And as I was preparing to study, I remembered this essay I had to read in English, and it was written by this man by the name of Lars Eigner, and he was a homeless person for a while. And he wrote this essay called On Dumpster Diving. And he wrote this, he said, "Eating safely from dumpsters involves three principles, using the senses, you know, touch, feel, smell, especially smell, taste, common sense to evaluate the condition of the found materials, knowing the dumpster of a given area and checking them regularly, and seeking always to answer the question, why was this discarded?" And we think, eating out of dumpsters. And that's what the world really does. When we do not feed ourselves upon God's word, we're basically dumpster diving on a cornucopia of worldly wisdom. And so, in this message, we're going to address the subject of eating, as I said. And God is interested in what we eat spiritually, because that's what we will help us grow in maturity. And so, in this message, we're going to look at two cafes. The El Camino, no, not that cafe, the Wholesome Cafe. By the way, let's give a free plug. Julian and Gilbert, their parents own a restaurant. It's the El Camino Cafe on 4th Street. There you go. So you can go there for breakfast burritos. Julian will be cooking. No? Y'all, you'll be here. Okay. Well, you know, I used to work at a bakery years ago, and I was never allowed to fry donuts because I was too clumsy. And, yeah, you could burn your body parts off on a donut fryer. So, but anyway, the Wholesome Cafe and the Dumpster Cafe. In the Wholesome Cafe, we'll discover that it is the perfect restaurant filled with perfect wisdom found in God's Word. And as we partake of this meal, we find that wisdom is delicious, wisdom is nutritious, while the restaurant behind the Wholesome Cafe, the Dumpster Cafe, is filled with discarded foolishness, which makes one's life sick. Have you ever been to the back of a restaurant and happened to get a whiff of the grease pit? That's Barfola. It's, oh, dude, it is. Today I want to throw up. Go find the grease pit in the back of a restaurant. It's like major nasty. These guys are saying, amen to that. And so let's read together. chapter 9. Did I tell you to move to chapter 9? Probably not. Chapter 9. Give me a second to get there. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. It's the number that comes after 8 but precedes 10. Oh, what book? I thought you guys were prophets. I'm sorry, Proverbs. We've been only doing Proverbs for about 4 months now. Yeah. But that's okay. One must not assume. Pardon me? You guys are razzing me this morning. That's good. All right, is everybody there? Let's read. Okay. Sam, where is it? It's in the Bible somewhere. Okay. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meal. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries from the highest places in the city. Whoever is simple, let him come in. Come. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. For as him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come and eat my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Well, let's look at the perfect cafe. And wisdom is a perfect cafe. And all true wisdom is found within God's word. God gives us the way to live life. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God cares about your finances. He cares about your friends. He cares about the things that you look at, the things that you read. He cares that you have a worldview, how you look at life. That's important. We find it within God's word. And so notice, look at verse 1. Wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out seven pillars. Well, this perfect cafe, this wisdom is personified as a house, a structure. You know, what's good about a house, a structure? What's good about it? What is it? Why is it important?
You mean like the foundation?
Well, you know, why do we have homes? Why do we have buildings? Shelter. So we can live. It's a place to live. Good. Why is it important to have shelter, Josh?
From the outside world.
Yeah, from the elements. Safety. From the boogeyman.
Oh my God.
You know, we need safety. There's a shelter. And it says, wisdom has built her house, a place of comfort and safety. And God's word is filled with comfort and safety. You know, God's word will save your life. It will save you from destruction. It'll save you from making stupid mistakes. You know, there are some people who believe, well, you know, I got to experience everything myself to learn. Well, that's not very wise. Because I can learn from observation that if you get a hammer and clank your head, it's going to hurt. I don't have to experience that myself to say, hey, that hurts. Learn from observation, and God gives us observations in his word, as we learn through Proverbs, as we've seen. God's wisdom gives us quality and hope to our lives through his instruction, through his warnings, and his encouragement. God warns us. Aren't you glad? Do your parents warn you? You know, little Johnny, you got to stay away from that medicine. If you drink too much of it, you're going to get sick. You work in the chemistry lab. Do you have lots of warnings?
No, I don't work in the chemistry lab. I work in a pharmacy.
But listen. Yes. So, yeah, it's not good for your liver. So, we need those warnings from God. God gives it, but not only just warnings and don't do this and don't do that, but God encourages us to walk with him, encourages us to do what is right. Because he says, at my right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. God wants you to experience his pleasure, to experience the wonderful things that he has for you. Well, let's look at the perfect pillars. Verse 13. Oh, well, no, not verse 13, excuse me. We're talking about wisdom, and he says he has hewn out seven pillars, and James has basically given us seven plus one pillars to discern wisdom from. And I'll read it to you from James. You don't have to turn there. It's in chapter 3, verse 13, we start with. Who is wise and understanding among you? And that's a question. And, you know, and I think our natural response is we like to be known as wise and understanding, right? We don't like to be known as those who aren't wise and not understanding. So it's a question. He says, let him show by good conduct. So James immediately says, if you're wise, your conduct is going to demonstrate that you are wise. That his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And so you see, that kind of wisdom is prevalent in our world. You see it everywhere. Self-seeking, envy, bitterness. It says it's sensual, it's demonic. It's not good. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And let's talk about that. It is pure. Why is true wisdom pure? Marissa? Any guess? Why would you say the wisdom of God is pure? Chris? Anybody?
Because God is pure.
That's the good. God is pure. You know, the wisdom of God is pure because it comes from the heart and mind of God. And he is pure. God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. And so we can trust God's word because it comes from the heart of God. He always has you in mind. Your benefit. And so we could trust it. We also learned that it is peaceable. True wisdom, there's no striving, there's no fighting, but confidence in God's care. When you trust God's wisdom, you can have peace. You can say, I made the right decision. You could be confident about that when you follow God's word. I made the right decision. Now, not everybody will agree with you, but you can rest that you're at peace with God because you're doing the will of God. The third thing he says, wisdom is gentle. You know, wisdom does not seek to ramrod its way through life at the expense of others. It is gentle. See, when you make your decisions, you can't say, it's all about me. It's me. You have to consider, what are the ramifications if I make this decision? Well, if I drink this bottle of Jack Daniels and drive, I just like being drunk. I love the feeling, man. It's cool. And you never think about the consequences, which is I can get into a car accident and either kill somebody or myself. I can bring a lot of heartache to my parents. We need to consider those things. What are the ramifications? Because our choices affect other people. It affects other people. And so, wisdom is gentle. It's also full of mercy, not willing to retaliate, but withhold judgment. The Bible says mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, that's a heart filled with hope. And that's a great quality, to have a heart filled with hope. Also, we find that wisdom is full of good fruits. You know, there's a payoff when one waits for God. See, the problem with us, especially, the problem with us in America, when we want waffles, what do? We go throw it in the toaster in 2 minutes, boop. Or, you know, we want something, we throw it in the microwave, boop. But are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait upon the Lord? And that's where the Bible says that's where we gain our strength, because you grow strong in patience. You know, learn to delay gratification. And I think God is trying to teach me that, to learn to delay gratification, especially when it comes to the dinner table. That's tough, because this cowboy likes to eat, and I need to learn to, not so much. There you go. And you're talking to the pharmacist right here.
Oh, I gained too much weight. Let me take a pill.
I know. It's true. So it's full of good fruit. Wait upon the Lord. Also, wisdom is without partiality. Wisdom only cares what God thinks. When you make your decisions, your biggest concern is, Lord, how do you feel about this? That's your primary concern, and the secondary follows after. He only cares about what God thinks, not partial. Wisdom's not a respecter of people, but a respecter of God and its decision making. And finally, wisdom is without hypocrisy. There's sincerity. There's not a double standard. It's true. It's the real deal. And so it's seeking what is right and best for others, desiring to please God. Well, now that we're at the Perfect Cafe, let's look at the menu and let's partake of its meal. First, we're going to see that wisdom is delicious. Verse 2, let's read it together. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She also has furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed." First of all, in this cafe, we notice it's not crowded. Jesus said the road to destruction is what? Broad. And the road of life is narrow. Very few find it. This cafe is not very crowded. There's room for the whole world. God gives that invitation. Do you remember the most famous verse in the Bible? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The invitation's out. Notice that she's saying, come and get it. The gospel is being preached. The gospel is going out. But very few want to come and eat at the table. No, I'd rather eat from the dumpster. Right next to the grease pit. Ah, look at this. There's an old moldy tortilla. You know, I mean, yuck. Flies around. But there is an invitation for good food. You know, the psalmist says this. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Come, see that the Lord is good." Here, God invites you to his dinner table. Invites you to come and eat. In the book of Revelation, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens up the door, I will come in and supper with him or dine with him." Come down to eat with you. God wants to have this relationship with you. It's like you're having dinner with your family. In Revelation, near the end, I think it's chapter 19, John the Apostle wrote, "I heard as if it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made her ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Come and eat at God's cafe. Come and eat, partake. And how do we partake of his cafe? It's by reading his word. It's coming to church. You know, some people say, you know, I really don't need to go to church. And I believe God and I love God and they know the gospel. And I'm not doubting their salvation. But you know what they're doing? They're denying themselves of the blessings that you people can give, that we can give. And also, you're denying other people the blessing that you can be to them. See, all of you have a part in the body of Christ. Everybody has a part in this restaurant. You know, guys, does the restaurant run well when the cook doesn't show up? Yeah, things don't run smooth. It causes trouble. And that's the way it is. When we don't show up to church to bless one another, to look for an opportunity to just be a blessing. And it doesn't mean you have to hand out flyers, but it could be talking to your friend and your friend says, oh, I'm having this problem and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, let's pray about it. You know, one of the coolest things when I first started coming to Calvary, gosh, about 200 years ago, was the Thursday night service. And after Thursday night, people would hang out at the church till 10 o'clock, and it still happens. And they break up into these little groups, and you see just different people just praying all over the sanctuary. That's ministry. Well, were they one of the pastors? No. They were just lay people like us. Were they, you know, they didn't have the official, but they cared enough and they loved enough to pray for one another. And that's a cool deal. Young man, number 31, Roy Williams. Yes.
What happened to the Thursday?
Well, they moved it to Wednesday. But you know, that happens. They break up in groups. If you go in there, it's they call that communion, koinonia, fellowship. It's important. You have an important blessing. Chris has a blessing to give. Through his personality, his character, and same thing with Marissa and Jillian and Abe and Justin and Eli and Josh and Cole and Samuel and Julian and I forgot your name.
Lawrence.
Lawrence of Arizona. There's a Lawrence of Arabia. There's Lawrence of Arizona. And, of course, Gilbert. And Sarah. Did I say Sarah? And Sam. So we the body needs us. For this restaurant to work smoothly, we need to be a part of it. There's good food there. The cafe's not crowded. Well, now that we saw wisdom is delicious, we're going to see that wisdom is nutritious. That's important. Did you guys take your gummy bear vitamins this morning?
No, I took them.
Good, good. So let's read verse 6. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied and the years of your life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you will bear it alone. First of all, wisdom is nutritious. It gives us, who do we eat this meal with? He says, do not eat with a scoffer. Now, a scoffer is a person who ridicules the gospel. And they're like, oh, you're just goody two-shoes, or you can't believe it. Or the intellectual types, as you'll find in the college as well, you can't really trust the word of God, and, you know, they may not have translated accurately. And you know, and I had a scoffer like that. I work with a scoffer, and I tell him, you're a scoffer, you're a mocker. He laughs. But he thinks he knows how the Bible, how it was put together and stuff, and we'll just talk about it. Yeah. Before the Common Era?
Yeah. And it's like, because not everyone believes in that dude you guys call God.
Yeah, that dude you call God. That's good. At least he knows he's God. That's good. But, you know, you'll come across that and he says, you know, but what I'm not saying is, you know, you pray for those who, because it could be the Holy Spirit just convicting their heart. But there's a time where you say, God, he's all yours. I've done my part. I shared the gospel. And, you know, pray for that person that their heart would soften. Pray that their heart will soften. And, but they don't want to hear it and they ridicule it. But he says in Luke, I forget which chapter because I didn't write it down, but in Luke, Jesus is telling his disciples to go preach the gospel, to go cast out demons and stuff. And he says, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you, then go out of that city and shake off the very dust of your feet as a testimony against them. And see, one of the problems of the church that gets away from the heart of the Word of God, they end up working themselves in the flesh through their might and power. And so you hear through church history where if you don't become a Christian, you have to die by the sword. That should never ought to be so, because that wasn't the way of Jesus. Jesus says, if they don't want to hear it, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. You know, if you were a Muslim and you convert to Christianity, it's a basic death sentence for that person, or a Hindu. But that's not the way of the gospel. And there's been atrocities brought out through history, but one must remember, it does not negate the message of Jesus Christ. Just because somebody abused it or misused the Bible doesn't make it right or make the message irrelevant. Also, the nutrition of the meal is when you hear and listen, you got to put it into practice. That's understanding. That's a wise person. A wise person hears what God says and declares and says, okay, now I got to put that into practice. And that's where you pray about it and ask God to help you. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect every time, but it should be the desire of your heart to walk with God. All right, let's wrap it up. Foolishness is the dumpster cafe. Let's look at verse 13. You heard the wise lady calling out, come and eat. Well, here's the foolish lady. She is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the highest places in the city to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he who does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. You know, this cook is lousy and loud. She's calling out. She speaks their ignorance without shame. There are people who think they know stuff about the Bible and it sounds good, but they know nothing. They have opinion about the Word of God, but they have no understanding. Stolen water is sweet. Come and sin. Come and take fill of my pleasure. And now you find yourself in the grease pit at the dumpster cafe with the stench of sin. It's not good. And now she's saying, come to my restaurant. Come and eat. Oh, there's maggots in there. Oh, that's okay. Just pick them out. Come and eat at that dumpster. Well, there are many dumpster divers in this world partaking in everything that pleases their flesh. See, as Christians, we live to please God, not ourselves. Yet God calls us to turn from our sins. And my question is to you, have you answered that call? Have you sat at the table? And all it is you respond by faith, saying, yes, Jesus, I want to sit at your table. I need your forgiveness of sin. I need your righteousness, because I can't have righteousness on my own. And I want to sit at your table. I want the hope of eternal life. If that is you, make that prayer today. Raise your hand now. We could pray. Or if you're too chicken to do that, say that prayer in your heart and let one of the leaders know. Make that choice today, because you may not never get that invitation again. And so, come and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste and see. Well, before we go, I want to give you three applications. When you hear God's word, seek to act upon it then and there. You hear God's word and it's something that you need to act upon, do it. If you find yourself in the dumpster, well, ask God for forgiveness and help. He'll take you out of the dumpster and put you in the cafe. And the third thing is eat at the perfect cafe by praying and reading your Bibles and coming to church, by acting upon what you know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you desire to give us a perfect meal. And Lord, you gave us a lot of food this morning. I pray that we would consider it. I pray that we would act upon it. I pray, Lord, that we would cooperate with your Spirit, that we would submit ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that we would come and taste and see that you are good. And I pray, Father, that we would experience your pleasures at your right hand forevermore. Lord, I pray that we would have a desire for your food, your dessert, your meat, your wine, your Spirit, God. Come upon us this morning. And Lord, I thank you for these guys here, and I pray if anybody has that desire to walk with you, that they have made that prayer, that request, that hope, and that you would seal their hearts for heaven's court above. We love you and we praise you, and we ask that you'd walk with us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.